Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I just saw a picture of the kid that won the National Mullet Championship. Apparently, they've announced the kid winners. It's the National Mullet Championships are going on in Wisconsin, for mostly for adults, but there's a kids division. And oh, there's a kid, good-looking mullet, and got the USA flag carved into the side of his head.
Oh, so that's nice.
You combine your mullet with the American flag, that's a hell of a good mullet.
Wow, wow. So, so the guy's rocking the Barracuda, and he's a Patriot. You gotta love that.
Yeah, sure.
Wait a second, where I gotta get back to my, he's got the Mississippi mud flap going, and he's a Patriot. The Kentucky waterfall. The Camaro crash helmet. Oh, I love that. Oh, man, I got deep into this a couple of weeks ago.
Saw one mullet at back-to-school night, and I know there are other people talking about it. My youngest wants to get a mullet.
Yes.
And I'm not against it, but his mom is.
Well, you know, if it's kind of in style, you know,
yeah,
what's the
sure,
difference?
Exactly. But I'm not... Bono had a mullet when you two got hot.
Yeah. The forbidden hair. I like that because it takes itself so seriously. Hey, to continue. That's right. We need to do clips of the week. But to continue the philosophical conversation we were having a little while ago about how kids, young people, young adults are so depressed and anxious and the rest of it. You know, the more I think about it, the more I think I'm right. That on a deep chemical, neurological level, something happens when we get together with other human beings in person and have an actual physical interchange. Well, not a physical interchange, but we're physically together. It's friends and allies and, you know, well, just friends that our brain needs. And it's, I was thinking about the sex drive and how it's incredibly complicated, but involves a hell of a lot more than, you know, it kind of feels good when you do it. There are all sorts of things happening hormonally.
It kind of feels good when you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was trying to be brief.
One of the all-time great understatements.
Yeah. Well, but there's so much more going on to drive us to make sure we fulfill that incredibly important part of being an animal. And it doesn't make any sense to me. Anthropologically, biologically, that the desire to have allies physically close is only practical. Oh, no, the only reason you feel driven to do that is for safety and to hunt together, blah, 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 as if it's purely intellectual, as opposed to something that we are driven to do because whether you believe in God or natural selection or whatever, if we don't do that, we will die. So it doesn't make sense that the desire to physically have allies close to you is only psychological. And so my theory is when people eat the candy of an online, quote unquote, friend, instead of the full nutritious meal of actually being together, they think they're being nourished, but they're not. And it's hurting people's psychology.
Yeah, we were talking about the sky-high suicide rates among teens and all that sort of stuff, and it fits in with my, you know, my economic thing where I keep saying unprecedented plus unprecedented will equal unprecedented, so there'll be some unprecedented result. That's what we've got with our mental health situation. Unprecedented is everybody went from looking at human beings to staring at their phone. We had the stat the other day that half of kids are online pretty much constantly while they're awake.
Yeah,
You know, stuff like that. That stuff is unprecedented. So you have a whole bunch of unprecedented things. Kids aren't allowed to go out and play by themselves. All these things are unprecedented. So you're going to get an unprecedented result, like sky-high suicide rates.
And I'm not going to get too into this because we've gotten into it many times before. But then in defiance of the existing guidelines for pandemics, you shut down all the schools and kept the kids isolated from each other. You lunatics wouldn't even let them play outside at a park. You pile that on top of the other stuff we're talking about, and I'm afraid we, the adults, have just done a terrible, terrible thing.
Well, here's a question before we get to clips of the week. Do you think we're still growing in that? Is that problem still growing, or is it peaked and we're on the other side of it?
I suspect it's getting worse, just because of the whole... and if you're familiar with this this phenomenon in retail or in economics, you have early adapters. It's a very small group of people. They're the very first to, you know, do whatever. And then you have kind of your next hipster group, and it gets bigger. By the time it gets to the masses of humanity, like a fashion, for instance, the hipsters have already moved on. And I think a lot of you folks and us are kind of the hipsters in terms of talking really honestly and sometimes brutally about the way society has brought up our kids and the world we've created for them. Maybe that's the best way to put it. And I think the masses of humanity, you know, people will say the Walmart crowd, Mr. and Mrs. Sixpack, you know, the average folks, working folks in America who don't have time to think about this stuff much or whatever, they're still getting here.
Well, deaths of despair for grown-ups are growing. Suicide for young people, I think it's still growing. I don't think we've reached the end, or certainly are on the other side, which is pretty troubling. Where does it end up? Holy crap. Yeah, good. How do you like your Friday? Huh? Enjoying your Friday? Glad you tuned in. Glad you didn't put in the latest Imagine Dragons CD. I just see them up on TV.
What is that, a video game or a cartoon?
Imagine Dragons, oh, they're awesome.
No, I'm kidding. I've heard of them. So one more philosophical note, then I swear we'll do Clips of the Week. What's the saying? I think it's from The Good Book. As for me and
Art
mine...
Of the Deal?
No.
The Bible!
That's it, sir. Thank you, Mr. President. As for me and mine, we'll follow the Lord, as the saying goes. Remember, you are not society. If you think our current society is way off base in some ways, have the confidence to live your life and raise your kids that way. Because you're probably right. What's my great disclaimer? I haven't mentioned it for a long time. Unless you're an idiot. Then you're not right. You're an idiot. But presuming for the moment you're not an idiot, if you think what all the rest of the kids are doing is not right, have the confidence to live your life that way.
Unless you're an idiot.
Unless you're an idiot.
Right. Incompetent people don't know they're incompetent. That's one of the greatest things I ever learned. So I suppose idiots don't know they're idiots.
And frustrating. Oh, speaking of incompetence, I have kind of an interesting note about the CDC coming up. But first, let's take a fond look back at the week that was, as promised repeatedly, it's Cow Clips of the Week.
3, 2, 1, lift up. Let me tell you what we found. 110 emails.
It was not the best choice.
52 email chains.
It was a mistake. This is not a game.
There are many sins, if you will.
Including the oink and the moo.
That's $20 for crudité, and this doesn't include the tequila.
We know that we really are quite behind, inspired how we have been talking and thinking about our exploration.
A man was walking his dog, comes up here and pulls his shorts down and defecated on our property. I think it's probably retaliation.
I'm sad because I wanted to be a part of a sisterhood, and I keep on waiting for my Rokai to call me and be like, just kidding.
I think everybody needs to be calling for calm. Everybody across the board.
It would be apathetic to just kind of hunker down and go with the flow. We're fishermen. We know that only dead fish go with the flow.
If we were in a coliseum with two gladiators, one of them Donald Trump, the other Merrick Garland, we'd be about to witness the slaughter of the lamb.
They may believe that, well, maybe it's time to turn the page if we can get someone who has all Trump's policies who's not Trump.
And tonight, Harriet Hageman has received the most votes in this primary. She won. I called her to concede the race.
She called and left a very brief 2-second message on my cell phone. And all she said was, hello, Harriet. And then that was the end of it.
That Bush, Cheney, Romney, McCain era of the Republican Party is over.
The U.S. is making lame arguments in a powerful manner with gangster logic.
I spend every waking minute doing everything to ensure we are preventing conflict.
Absolutely, the American public should trust what the FBI is doing.
The way our federal government has gone, it's like what we thought about the Gestapo and people like that.
to be clear, you're not confirming that Ayman al-Zawahiri was killed in that house not far from where we're sitting now?
Absolutely. We have not arrived at that conclusion.
But even if he was, these types of incidents happen everywhere in the world.
But they really don't.
Our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case.
What difference at this point does it make? Love that tune.
So we'll finish out the hour with more news we got for you. I'm hoping the whole Mar-a-Lago raid thing is on pause now for a couple of months. It would seem that it is, right? Because the judge announced, okay, I'll release the affidavit, but it's got to be looked over by a bunch of lawyers. It's going to go back and forth. That's going to take quite a while.
I would guess a couple of weeks.
At the very least, weeks.
Yeah.
But it's certainly not impending, like tomorrow, Monday, something.
Well, and like being served a radish for dinner, I don't think it will satisfy you when it comes out.
A radish?
A radish. That's an important part of your crudité, Dr. Oz.
Oh, right. I'd never heard that word, I don't think.
Yeah, I've seen it in print now and again. It means
it's
like a veggie tray.
But isn't it odd that he threw it around like he clearly thought? I mean, the whole point of his video was, I'm just a regular guy like you. I'm at the grocery store. I'm at the...
And look at inflation. It's tough on working families like mine.
And he mispronounces the name of the grocery store that everybody goes to and then uses some term for a veggie tray that none of us have ever used.
He's
hilarious.
He's a super wealthy New Yorker. People say, well, he's from New Jersey. He lives right across the river in one of those places where Wall Street robber barons have $15 million homes. He has 10 properties.
10.
That's the other shot they're taking at him, that he's not nearly a regular guy, which is, well, he's super wealthy. He invests in real estate. But
you know what I love is that for a guy who wants to be Trump, Dr. Oz, Trump got elected by, look, I'm rich. I fly around on my own plane. I ride around in a limousine everywhere. He didn't even try that, which I loved and still love. He didn't stand up on a hay bale and a Carhartt jacket and act like money. No, I'm a super rich, successful guy. I'm nothing like you. I don't even want to be like you.
In fact, he's been accused of inflating as well.
I always thought one of the most brilliant things he did was when he showed up to the big Harley rally. He said, I don't really like motorcycles. I like limos. As opposed to every other politician who rides in on a brand new Harley, having been taught how to ride it 2 minutes earlier. And Dr. Oz is one of those complete phonies like that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, and the guy he's running against is a complete phony, too. What an awful race. The guy's never held a job, the other guy. He's couch surfs on mommy and daddy's bills. It's unbelievable.
We got a lot more on the way. Stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Oh,
I just saw up on the TV, Imagine Dragons has a new album out, and my kids love the Imagine Dragons, but the only reason I bring this up is I just saw the lead singer for the first time. He looks like an NFL football player. You don't expect that out of most of your musicians. They're usually weedy little dope fiends. This guy looks like he's the linebacker for your favorite pro team.
I was just going to ask, is he like linebacker physique, or are you talking offensive lineman?
Like fit lineman. Ah. Like fit linebacker. Giant arms, shoulders, and everything like that, but fit. Huge guy. Anyway, don't expect that out of musicians. Speaking of musicians, this made the rounds yesterday. Madonna, 64, and key to this story, Madonna, who's 64 years old, shares a French kiss with a model before licking his nipple.
All right.
And Jonah Goldberg tweeted this out and just said, sad. Yeah, no kidding. Are you're still trying to shock us? First of all, nothing is shocking in the year 2022. The stuff that you did that was so shocking in the 80s, nobody comes close to raising an eyebrow out now. I mean, you can't. Snuff films barely would get an attention.
Oh, jeez. I mean, whoa.
I mean, just... We live in a shocking age, but you kissed some guy and then licked his whatever, and you're 64. Go away.
Putin invaded Ukraine.
Right.
That's shocking.
Yeah. There you go.
And, you know, I was at the forefront of people who said years and years ago, she's overrated as a singer and songwriter or whatever else, but she's underrated as a businesswoman and provocateur. She was just incredibly canny, but she's lost her. Well, maybe I gave her too much credit. She only had one card to play.
Yeah, she didn't age well.
Like Lady Gaga. We'll be doing something really interesting and surprising in 10 years. I'm certain of it because she's very, very bright.
I got a couple of smoking stories for you. First of all, scientists have uncovered why coffee and cigarettes pair so well together. There's some chemical makeup in coffee that helps with your nicotine addiction. And so if you're a nicotine addict, you get an extra buzz out of not just grabbing that smoke in the morning, but also drinking coffee.
Hmm.
I also just wonder if you're a smoker, you're the sort of person that uses various chemicals to get yourself going this direction or that direction, and coffee's a good one.
Are you saying they're a joker and a midnight toker?
Third-hand smoke can cause cancer, too, a shocking new study says. While inhaling secondhand smoke is known to have ill effects, very barely. Secondhand smoke was always so overblown. Even handling a smoker's clothes could potentially cause cancer.
Yeah, how potentially?
Well, like I said, secondhand smoke is overblown. But so, whatever. Look for this coming to a lawsuit near you.
Or breathless coverage on network news. It's good clickbait. I wanted to know what you meant when you said it.
There's a new sports car out that goes 300 miles an hour.
That's what I need.
Because apparently there are too many cars that go 200 miles an hour. I don't know where you ever do that, but there's one that goes 300 miles an hour. Alec Baldwin did a two-hour interview in which he said Trump was trying to incite his January 6th mob to murder him. Alec Baldwin believed that Trump was trying to get people to murder him when Trump at one point said, I bet he did it on purpose because, you know, Trump's a provocateur, kind of like Madonna, and so Alec Baldwin. But anyway, Alec Baldwin went on to say that this incident has taken years off his life and he doesn't think he'll ever be the same. Yeah, I don't doubt that, no matter who you are. I think if I accidentally shot and killed some woman who I knew, yeah, it would be a rough one.
Wow. How's his fake Spaniard wife feeling?
Why'd you have to go there?
I'm sorry, was that unsympathetic? What is the word for cucumber? You grew up in Boston.
If you miss an hour of the show, you can always get the podcast at Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
That's definitely the plan. That's definitely the goal. I feel like through this whole process, we've been trying to tell my side of the story, but a lot of people wasn't able to or didn't really pay too much attention to it. But one day we will. Only time will tell. And, you know, like I said before, just continue to keep being the person I am, keep showing the community how good of a human being I am. Have I always been, how I was raised. And I just want to continue to show that and, you know, keep pushing forward.
Okay, so that's a quarterback in the NFL. Who has just gotten the longest suspension and biggest fine in the history of the National Football League, 11 games, $5 million.
Deshaun Watson, yes.
For a variety of inappropriate sexual things with a whole bunch of different women, like two dozen different women. He said at one point earlier in the week, I take full responsibility for my actions and blah, blah, blah. And then yesterday when he got in front of a microphone, he said, I'm innocent and didn't do anything wrong. So those are a little contradictory. You take full responsibility for having done nothing wrong? Okay. I do, too.
Me, too. Very honorable.
Alex in the newsroom said we missed something on the story earlier. What are we missing on this, Alex?
Well, while his behavior is repugnant, so is the NFL's. They suspend him 11 games. That's just long enough for him to receive his full paycheck still from the Cleveland Browns, which is a record contract.
$236 million or something like that, guaranteed.
Guaranteed,
that
yes.
That he's going to get. Oh, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I'll say. But here's the part that's repugnant on the NFL's point. You know, he's suspended and he's got the fine, whatever. His first game back, because it's all a show, is against his former team, the Houston Texans. So it makes me feel like his suspension wasn't morally based on anything he did, more just for ratings.
Yeah, yeah. There's a whole lot of squishy in this. I'll tell you what I mean.
Oh, wow. So I see what you're saying. You don't think it's a coincidence that, like, a super high-profile, everybody will want to watch it, matchup is the game he comes back.
And it just happens to be the first game back. Right, right, because right. The suspension system with that league has been flimsy, to say the least.
Right, and they've tried to make it more independent, so there's like a special, you know, person who weighs this stuff like a judge. I think it's literally a retired judge. But on the one hand, he's not been convicted of anything. He's settled a bunch of lawsuits that he's said all along were bull-ass. They're just women trying to get paid. But there are lots and lots of them that all tell more or less the same story. So they got to push far enough that the public is satisfied that, like, a rapist isn't getting away with it, allegedly. At the same time, though, if he's not been convicted of anything, I mean, if I'm caught jaywalking and I get fired from this job, I'm getting lawyered up in a big hurry, because you can't take away somebody's living based on. Or somebody suggests I jaywalk, to cite a particularly silly and small accusation. How far can you go in punishing somebody?
A whole bunch of women came forward and said roughly the same thing, which is one of the things that looks so damaging, is they all independently had similar stories, kind of like with Bill Cosby or Harvey Weinstein. And he would rub himself. He would go to get a massage.
Oh,
okay, so
boy,
this is one thing that the Browns owners and representative for himself. Kind of, because I just kind of heard about this. I don't pay attention to the NFL. I kind of heard about it and heard the term massage parlors and stuff like that. Well, they tried to make it sound like he was going to, you know, the kind of massage parlor that actually is a place full of sex workers and blah, blah, blah. No, these were actual, he was getting actual massages at actual massage places. And then he would apparently whip it out, rub himself up against himself until he was done, is what all the women are claiming. And not cool. Not cool. And so that's what all these independent business women were alleging. And and so the owners come out and say, doesn't that guy get a second chance? What, is he supposed to never get to work again? Well, that's one way to look at it, kind of like the way Joe was looking at it. On the other hand, in terms of I'm just a fan watching a TV show, do I have to watch a guy who does that sort of thing when I flip on the TV for a little entertainment?
Right. Well, that's what I was describing. You know, I wasn't advocating my point of view. I was just saying that's the tension. He's allegedly a despicable human. On the other hand, do you take away a guy's living for accusations? The NFL's in a tough spot.
Yeah. I was watching ESPN, and both the female reporters they had on there thought it was horrible that he isn't booted out of the league. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, he might be a woman if he identifies as a woman, Jack. He should just claim he's a woman, and that makes it seem very different to change the topic somewhat. Retweets do not equal endorsements. Came across this song. It is a parody by, I believe, an Australian comedy troupe. If there's any point to it, it's that a lot of the woke ideology that people in blue states and blue cities think is everywhere isn't really. Okay. I meant to tell you, clip number 15, if you'd be so kind, Mike. Thank you.
In an act of great deception, they spread around the lie that there's no meaningful difference between XX and XY.
Transgender women are as much women as any other woman.
What? We need to get rid of this idea that trans women are men because we are not. Because we are not. We're not.
It's time for a song.
My choice to be a woman makes me more woman than a lot of women out there.
Ain't I a woman?
This is the beauty of being a woman and having curves.
I'm a girl.
Young man,
why'd you think that you pass? I said,
young man.
Have you been smoking grass? I said,
young man.
You're in your own sex class and you'll
never be a woman, young man.
So you're wearing a dress? I said,
young man.
But we aren't impressed. I said,
young man.
Everybody can guess that you're
not an actual woman.
I guess it must be that
Y chromosome
can't get away from that
Y chromosome.
It's in every cell, it's in your DNA, and you can't make it go away. It's plain to see it's that
Y chromosome.
You're male because of that
Y chromosome.
Hey, that's probably that's plenty of that. It's not quite as catchy as that James Comey, Hillary Clinton song, but...
But so that's out of Australia?
They're Australian or British.
So you had the thing earlier in the show, and if you missed hour one, you should grab it in the podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand, but that Europe is not where we are on the whole transgender thing, so maybe Australia isn't either?
Particularly among juveniles. The right, thing in Britain is all about kids.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Adults, you know, I don't care.
And you know, honestly, if there's somebody, you know, in the radio ranch who identifies as a woman or whatever, as long as they do a good job, that's their business. They're living their life. You know, it might take a little adjusting to, but it's that whole radical gender theory, queer theory thing that denies there's a difference between men and women, or that we should even use those words, like ridiculous stuff like birthing persons and words like chest feeding and that sort of thing. That's so far out there. And that's my only point in talking about this stuff, is the whole gay rights or transgender people rights or stuff, that sort of thing. That's fine. That's great. I mean, everybody should get their human rights. But it's the radical theory people who I have a serious problem with, and the fact that they're teaching this stuff in schools, because well-meaning, mostly college-educated people with no judgment have bought it. But anyway...
I need to talk to Mike.
Europe has jammed on the brakes and is going 100 miles per hour in reverse on the whole idea of transitioning children.
I got to talk to my kids about this. I've been meaning to, but it just never seems like what I want to do at that moment. Have you talked to your kids about this, Hanson? No?
Stand by.
No. Your kids are a little younger than my kids, but it comes up. Like, we were at the grocery store the other day, and Henry said, "Dad, that guy over there has boobs." And, it
was it me?
Wasn't a
because I'm working out. I'm trying to lose weight.
It wasn't a guy. It was a trans woman. I still don't completely get this right. So it's a guy who identifies as a woman, would seem. So yeah. It's a trans woman is the right term. And again, I have no problem with that whatsoever. But my son. You know, he's not thinking about this through gender anything. He's got no agenda whatsoever. He just said that guy has boobs and is dressed like a girl. So it seemed to him that was a man. And so I need to talk about this stuff in some level. And I haven't decided what I'm going to say. So,
yeah, it's interesting. I came across. Do you remember that YouGov poll?
I guess my main
talked about a lot?
My main theme will be nice to everyone. Be nice to everyone no matter what. That'll be my main thing.
Well, yeah, sure. Of course. You don't have to teach him about critical theory yet, but I was reminded of that YouGov poll that we talked about a lot. Somebody happened to send us a link to it, that YouGov asked what percentage of the country is black, and the result was 41% when it's 14%. Let's see, they have stuff. How many families make over $500,000 a year? And the actual the answer was 26%. The actual number is 1%. What percentage of your fellow citizens are gay? And the result at YouGov was 30%, when it's actually 3, 4, 5, 6%, depending on who you ask, probably.
But a tenth of what the other number was.
And then this one is practically unbelievable. I should go back to YouGov and recheck this. What percentage of Americans are transgender? 22%? You might get that idea from TV and ads and stuff like that.
Right.
And the attitudes, the way they talk about it in schools.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. If right down the road here, I'm pointing this direction, right down the road here, the boys' bathroom to start school next week has a dispenser for if that boy is menstruating.
He's not.
In the boys' bathroom. No, he's not.
No, I can assure you he's not. No. No.
But I could see how you'd get the idea if you're not, like, you don't pay attention to this sort of stuff, how you think it's got to be 20% or something.
And then you go that way and then exit the highway and take a left. There's an affluent suburb where a so-called transgender child, biological boy, is, like, running roughshod in girls' softball, or was. And the nice, polite, enlightened suburbanites didn't know what to say about it, so they just let it happen. It's just, we will look back on this time, and you will tell people who were not alive at the time or whatever what happened, they won't believe you.
God, I should have played on the girls' high school golf team. They won the state championship one year when I was in high school, and I could beat all of them. I really should have played on their team.
I should have, too. Oh, my God. I'd be out driving them by 75 yards. Please. I was a fool.
You were a fool. We will finish strong next.
Armstrong and Getty.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
A Tennessee couple recently had an Italy-themed engagement photo shoot. The catch, they were taken at this Olive Garden. They definitely managed to capture an Italian vineyard vibe at the popular chain restaurant.
Yes! Then they asked for an exotic seaside location. The photographer's like, there's a Red Lobster down the block.
That's funny. That is a couple that got their wedding photos done at the Olive Garden. And, of course, the joke was the seaside location is the Red Lobster across the parking lot. I, however, do not mock that sort of thing. I think it's perfectly fine. Maybe they met there. Probably did. I'll bet that's the story, as a matter of fact.
Sure.
But they met at Olive Garden. Poll out in USA Today got my attention. Do you think Supreme Court justices should have term limits? And I would not have guessed it was this high. 2/3 of Americans say yes. Supreme Court justices should have a term limit.
Well, it's not a crazy suggestion.
No, I think
I mean, packing the court, horrible. Various, you know, radical ideas for tearing it down are just idiotic, but no, that makes reasonable sense.
Yeah, and maybe Tim, the lawyer, could argue me out of it for reasons I'm not thinking of right now, but I think that'd be a great idea. I think that would help things out a lot if you knew exactly how many Supreme Court justices were on the line when a president was getting elected. It seems to me that this whole just completely random with a bunch of ancient people, whether somebody has a heart attack or their brain gives out or whatever, and that president might get to appoint 3 and the next president 0, just seems crazy to me.
It is odd, particularly given the divisions politically and philosophically among Americans and the justices.
Right.
I'm trying to think what a good system would be. I mean, if, you know, every year, in the second, or every time a president hit the second year of their term, one of the justices would be phased out and a new one appointed.
And you put them like on an island and they have challenges to see which one.
Yeah, and form alliances and, yeah, have tiki torches for some reason. Yes, exactly. Now, I'm trying to do the math on that because occasionally, obviously, you might have one pass away or have a lunatic assassinate them, which damn near happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's interesting.
There is a speaking of Tim Sandifer, Tim the lawyer, he was part of a group of people, things we would change about the Constitution. And I listened to their podcast or YouTube video or something like that. It was fascinating. Like, some really good ideas. Like, you know, if you had to do it over again, maybe you ought to do this.
Hmm.
It is not, you know, completely 100% the most perfect document ever.
No, they did their best.
Sure.
It is time for us to, if we begin at this time, to offer. And with great deliverance, along with ambiguity, to follow this course in our struggle to say it is again final thoughts with or without Armstrong, but not limited to Getty, now and forever. Amen.
That's a pretty good Kamala Harris right there.
Yeah.
Here's your host for final thoughts, Joe Getty.
Let's get a final thought from everybody who's left as Michelangelo has taken off to attend an important family celebration. And we wish everybody in the Michelangelo family congratulations and happiness and joy and the rest of it. Executive producer Hanson has taken over the helm. Mm. Can you do us a final thought? Or
yeah, people, there's two things you have to do today. After you finish all 4 hours of A&G On Demand, you've got to go to ArmstrongGetty.com and buy a hat. Buy a shirt.
I'm wearing a t-shirt today. What's t-shirt?
That's a beautiful shirt. We've got patches. We've got stickers. We might have a bikini.
This is crass commercialism.
Yeah, it is.
I won't have it.
People got to eat. My kids got to eat. Michelangelo hasn't eaten in a week.
Cut off your own mic. Alex is our behind-the-scenes producer. Alex, a final thought?
Oof, that was brash. Doing a lot of cool things this weekend, getting back into play-by-play because Friday Night Lights are back this weekend, so I'm going to do that tonight. Tomorrow I'm playing on a golf tour with a particularly uncouth name, and Sunday I'm spending time with my mom, so I am ready for this weekend.
Lovely. Jack, a final thought for us?
What does my shirt say? I can't read my own shirt.
The never-ending parade of stupid.
That's a good one.
My description of following the news.
You know, I was going to wear the t-shirt that says, welcome to the spicy times, but I'm not sure I'm still digging the joke. Like I said last week, nobody during the Civil War was wearing a t-shirt that said, welcome to the spicy times. I mean, there was nothing funny about how spicy the times were.
Oh, boy.
Last weekend before school starts for both of my kids and my oldest son does not like school. And he said to me, I said, you know who else hated school? Me. I hated school every moment of my life. He said, not as much as I do. I said, oh, you are so wrong.
My final thought, spending on cryptocurrency ads in February was $85 million. Spending last month, $36,000.
Wow. That went away fast. Times change. Armstrong and Getty wrapping up another grueling four-hour workday.
So many people to thank, so little time. We'll see you around.
God bless America!
Armstrong and Getty.
This is a beautiful moment.
I mean, this is the sort of original sin.
This is a joke.
This is horrible.
There is no point.
It's a little too much doggy dog.
Enough talk.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word.
Words.
Are you high, bro?
Another day in paradise.
Wait, hold my beer.
Okay.
A practice of which I do not approve.
Goodbye, everyone.
Have a great Friday, you mother...
Armstrong and Getty.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.